Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to SSR2 Leadership Call number 66 on the 29th of April, 2019 at 1730 UTC. Attending the call today is Russ, Lauren, and Denise, and we are waiting for Eric to join us. We have from ICANN.org, Jennifer, Nagar, and Brenda. Today's call is being recorded. I'd like to remind you to please state your name before speaking for the record. And I'll turn the call over to Jennifer. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Brenda. This is Jennifer. So the technical writer status update, as you will have seen on Friday, Nagar sent two resumes redacted to the SSR2 list with a request that the review team provide a selection based on that information by tomorrow, the 30th of April at 2359 UTC. So I haven't seen any conversation on list about that. I guess I'll hand it over to Russ and the leadership team if there's any questions or comments about that email and the next steps in terms of selection. Thanks.
Well, so this is Russ. I went through both resumes. It was actually very difficult to figure out which one, based on the resume, would serve this group better. But I didn't see anything in either one of them that raised a, hey, they're not qualified either. So one of them clearly has a position with a company, at least a part-time position, and the other one seems to be doing this kind of work full-time. Did either Denise or Lauren have a chance to read those?
So this is Lauren. Unfortunately, I'm not sure what it is. I could only open one of the resumes. Nagar resent it to me. So I believe it is some weird antivirus check or whatever Yale does. So I could only look at one of them so far, and I guess I need to find a way to get the second one.
Yeah, they were in different formats. So maybe.
Yes, exactly. And it doesn't, the one that's the MIME attachment, it just doesn't, it somehow broke it in transit. I don't know why.
This is Jennifer. We can resend the files. We can make sure they're both in the same format and resend them. Which one was the one that you had difficulty opening?
Give me a second, Jennifer.
Hi, this is Nagar. I believe it was candidate 8, Lauren. Candidate A, if I'm not mistaken, Lauren.
Yes, that is correct. I just checked. Candidate B shows up as a normal PDF, and then the other one just says, well, it's a mail attachment, but doesn't really work. And even if I open it with, you know, kind of basic editors, it just is a scrambled mess.
And Lauren, even the version I resent to you, you're having issues with that one as well?
Yes. So, Nagar, I think it's some form of, as I said, like some form of antivirus check or something that Yale performs that is breaking it. I think I'll just send you like another email address and then you can just send it to me again. I think this is...
Sure.
Because it was the same email address twice.
All right, Lauren, that should work. Thanks. Yeah, provide another email address to us and I'll resend it to you, see if you have better luck with this one.
Thank you very much. Coming through now.
This is Denise. I reviewed the two resumes. I have a concern that candidate A has a full-time job, which may not be consistent with the needs of this team. And also lacks more specific SSR knowledge which isn't insurmountable, but candidate B appears, in my view, to be better. But the following up on other conversations we've had, if staff is screening resumes, the practice that usually is used in this, these types of situations is that we get a grid of how the staff assess the candidates. Is that not part of your practice?
Hi, Denise, this is Negar. So the overview that I provided, although brief, kind of alludes to the process that we have undertaken, not just for SSR2, but for other similar reviews and works as well. There's no written grid that I can provide, but technical writing skills have been assessed by teams that have the expertise within them. And of course, our talent acquisition team assesses the HR-related matters, and I have provided information and talked to the candidates myself regarding the work of the review, the travel needs, availability, scope of the work that this person would undertake. We have no further information that I can provide beyond that.
Okay. Candidate A has a full-time job, and that is not expected to inhibit that candidate's involvement or travel. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Sure. So the candidate is also contracting in the industry listed on the resume, and it's not a full-time role from what's been explained to us. We have set out expectations for the amount of time this work requires, and as well as all the face-to-face travels that they are expected to take. And the candidate has not expressed any concerns about that and has mentioned that they'll be available to be able to handle the workload. So I don't, from what we have heard and seen, we don't anticipate that to be a problem. But of course, that's a decision and an element that the review team and leadership should decide on.
Yeah, the way I read that, Denise, is they have a part-time job. I don't know if that's, I don't know how many hours a week that part-time job is, but that's how I read it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Russ, how would you like to come to closure? Do you want to just do it on email between you and me and Lauren and Eric?
Well, we haven't gotten any feedback from the larger group. I tend to lean towards candidate B for the same reason you already said, which I think I said in my opening comments. There's just the fact that they've done work with the Internet Society and ICANN. Both and Aaron, you know, so they've been around the community. Is the only discriminator that I can see.
So this is Lauren. Negar, in your email, you say that candidate A seemed to be the better fit than B. Can you kind of give us an idea what the, you know, why you came to this conclusion with the interview? Because as it seems like on paper, the other one seems to be looking better to Denise and Russ, who had a look at both resumes.
Sure, Lauren. This is Negar for the record. Candidate A has a lot of writing experience, technical writing experience on lengthy reports. Majority of this candidate's career has been actually writing technical reports for various subject lines as in, you know, reported in their CV. The candidate showed great ability to disseminate information and be able to write it up in a report format based on the conversations that they had with our technical writer experts in-house. And candidate B has a lot of great attributes as well, but most of the write-ups that they seem to have done are in forms of articles and much smaller reports and gathering of information and collating them as opposed to putting something in a true report format that has different sections like rationale and details and write-ups and executive summary, etc. So the technical writing experience and expertise of candidate A far outranks candidate B, but of course, you know, candidate B has their own merits, and there is a give and take here. From our perspective, and having hired other technical writers in the past, familiarity with the ICANN environment, although quite important, weighed less when it came to putting reports of this format together. Only because the review team, as the review team, you guys are the ones putting the information together, and the technical writer takes that information and reshapes it into a proper report format and disseminates information in the right way in an overall report and make sure there's consistency across board and the data flows properly and it has the right logical sequence associated with it, etc. So being familiar with ICANN, although can be very effective and helpful, doesn't necessarily help with forming the report the way that it should be formed for your final report or even draft report. So the technical writing skill set comes in quite handy for that. And since you guys are the owners of content, all the technical knowledge that you have about ICANN and SSR related matters to DNS, all of that content is coming from the review team, and the technical writer is taking that information. They're not drawing conclusions off of it. They're taking the information that the review team provides and brings it down into a report format and disseminates it in the right way. So the importance of that is a little bit less compared to being able to write the report and having, like I said, that technical writing skill set and expertise. But again, this is something that you guys as a review team have to determine what brings more value for you. The writing of the report is going to be a big task. I don't expect the report to be a short report. The reports all tend to be at least around 200 pages long. And so having experience writing technical reports of that length becomes quite critical as you keep adding content into your reports and reference points and all sorts of information that has to make up the whole report by itself. I hope that was helpful.
Very helpful, thank you. I just wanted to see what the difference was and how it felt from kind of your perspective as someone who's actually kind of met with them and has other data points such as CV.
So since Eric wasn't able to join us, shall we follow up on email to get closure on this, or what would you ask some more, and what would you like to do?
Yeah, I think
I think that
we should try and get him to contribute to that. Maybe we can find a way to wrap this up on email.
So this is Lon. I'm wondering, do we want to... Oh, and by the way, thanks, Russ, for just the PDF conversion. So that went through the filter. Thanks a lot. I'm wondering, do we want to remind people that they could say something, or is this, considering the deadline, likely to be counterproductive?
I'm sorry, remind who?
So this went to the whole SSR2 list. So far, I have not seen anyone say anything. I am wondering, is just, do people, you know, kind of feel like, oh, both are fine, or did they kind of miss the fact that they can comment on it? And I'm wondering, should we remind them of that? We are considering that we want to finalize by tomorrow, or is this useless?
Yeah, this is Denise. I'm clearly confused about this process. I didn't realize this note went to the whole review team. I thought the note was going, and the finalists were going to be sent to the leadership team, and that we were doing the selection, just keeping the whole review team apprised of the progress. So that, did we decide that the whole review team is going to be involved in this instead of the leadership team? So I thought, I may be misremembering, but I thought, particularly because of our time constraints and the need to get someone on board quickly, that the leadership team was going to select the technical writer.
But this is Lauren. I'm fine either way. I was just asking what's our procedure here, and considering it went to whole list, what are we doing with this now?
So Lauren, my thoughts are that the team has had an opportunity to tell us what they think. And since they have chosen not to, then it falls to us to make a decision.
Okay, that sounds like a good approach to take this line.
All right, so we have roughly a day to sort this out and before the loss.
Russ, this is Jennifer. I'm finding it hard to hear. I don't know if your microphone, it seems to be a bit more faint than when you first joined the call.
Okay, is it better now?
Yes, thank you.
All right, it seems to keep, this noise cancellation thing seems to keep lowering the level, and I am manually dragging it back.
So I missed the next step on this, if you wouldn't mind repeating that. Thanks.
Oh, I think the leadership team will discuss this further on email and then come to a decision the next day.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I think the next item is yours, Jen.
Thanks, and it's just a very quick update. The people who are involved in the compliance discussion per Lauren's email have been sent a doodle poll of availability. So that call is going to take place hopefully the week of the 13th of May. Unfortunately, it's a little bit later than had been requested by the review team members involved. However, there are a couple of ICANN events in the coming weeks that have impacted availability. So it seems like that discussion will take place ahead of the Brussels meeting. And that was really my update there, but happy to answer questions if there's anything on that. Otherwise, I will move on to the next item, which is ICANN 65 engagement. So this is an update from us regarding the public engagement session that the SSR2 review team, we put in a request for you all to host that, as we usually do for ICANN meetings. So that has been discussed amongst the SONAC meeting planning team. I believe that discussion took place last week. At the moment, there is no confirmed decision as to whether or not that session is approved. However, there seems to be a leaning towards community groups such as the SSR2 review team and other groups to do a webinar instead of a meeting at ICANN 65 to do a pre-meeting webinar during the ICANN meeting prep week, which is a new concept that was, I believe, first happened at ICANN 64, and it's the week just before the ICANN meeting. A number of webinars are scheduled, and the idea is to free up people's schedules a little bit more during the ICANN meeting itself, and for people who are interested to get a little bit of context before the ICANN meeting itself for any discussions that should take place during the meeting. So with that said, I would like to ask you all if you would be interested, if that was the case, that the engagement session option was rejected by the SONAC meeting planning team, if a webinar would be something that would be appropriate, you would feel you would be happy to do. And that would be the week, I believe, of the 10th of June sometime. And we can, of course, schedule it at a time that suits all the leadership team schedules. Thanks.
So Jennifer, this is Russ. That kind of puts the cart before the horse, because the whole point of the meeting the couple days before was to put together the slides to do the engagement, and we'd have to have those slides to do the webcast. Am I understanding right?
So the time that you, if you want to do the slides face to face, then I would suggest that maybe take some time at the end of the meeting in Brussels to do that. At least you can have a good summary from the progress. There's only a couple of weeks, I think 2 or 3 weeks between the Brussels meeting and the Marrakesh meeting to be able to get any work done additional. So I think that the update would be, it would be fine to put the slides together in Brussels. In terms of how you use the time face to face in Marrakesh, I would think that there would be other topics that you would want to progress during that time. But I mean, like I said, it's up to you all if you would prefer not to do a webinar beforehand. At the moment, unfortunately, I don't have a confirmed decision whether or not that engagement session is happening, but we can certainly let the meeting planning team know if your preference is to not have a webinar prior to. Thanks.
How soon do they...
Go ahead, Russ.
How soon do they have to know?
So I believe that they're finally, they had a call on Thursday, and I don't think that any decisions were made, but they'll be making those, I believe, this week. So the sooner, the better.
This is Denise. My two cents is that will be, pressed for time, writing and editing and agreeing in Brussels, and getting the draft report together should be the main focus rather than sort of slides and outreach. I agree with you, Russ. I'm concerned that that effort will be the focus really right up to close to Marrakesh, and that doing a webinar before Marrakesh would then back up our work on slides before that, which is not really feasible given the where we are in the production schedule. So I think that's a long way of saying my reaction to your question, Jennifer, would be no, and that it's not feasible given our report production schedule to do a webinar a week in advance instead of doing face-to-face interactions. Further, this is face-to-face interactions on a sort of first draft or reports. It's a pretty critical time for discussions with the community. We could explore, and I think we should explore, a webinar perhaps afterwards, but I'm hard-pressed to see how we'd be able to move
a public interaction up a week and get everything we have pending done. That's my thought on it.
So this is Lauren, just a quick question. So I raised the idea in the past to not just do like the kind of, session for us, but to essentially ask relevant groups if they would like to see us for a few minutes. So I can say, for example, that when I discussed this with ALAC, there was definitely an interest on their side to be, you know, updated, being able to ask questions. So I'm wondering, is that maybe an approach we can take? So instead of like doing a full session, which might be a problem, we can just offer two constituencies to kind of see them if they have time and would be interested to do so, just as an idea.
Hi, Lauren. This is Negar. It's a little late for that. The request to reach out to SOs and ACs and ask to see if they can fit any sessions on their agendas to meet individually with the review team. That time has already passed. But if it's any consolation, they have basically rejected that kind of request for all reviews, essentially, with the exception of one or two groups that are talking about it to make like a 15 to 30 minute time frame. And they're actually rejecting engagement sessions for all of the reviews, not just SSR2. And it sounds to me like, and I don't have the information firsthand, but what I'm hearing is that they are encouraging everyone to conduct webinars. I fully agree with Denise that one great possibility is to consider doing a webinar after the ICANN meeting so that your work has progressed further and you have the results that you like to discuss with the community. And you can certainly announce it far and wide to ensure that it gets attention from all of the SOs and ACs so that they will participate in the webinar as the schedules permit. And we can, of course, always have more than one webinar. That's what we encourage the teams to do so that you get greater participation due to different time zones, the scheduling issues, et cetera.
So I think the right thing to do is say no thank you to a webinar before Marrakesh. Let's get our recommendations compiled and so we can figure out what we're going to say in the engagement. That should be the focus of our Brussels meeting. And then we can figure out if there's anything we want to say afterwards. I think the response we receive in Marrakesh will tell us whether other people want to hear that. Just what we hear in the hallway, even, oh, sorry, I couldn't make your session or whatever. So I'll look to you guys to keep your ears out for that.
Okay.
I'm not hearing any disagreements.
Nope.
Okay.
So this is Lauren. It just seems that essentially that is the only way because we don't want to do it too early and there are likely no opportunities to do so in Marrakesh. So essentially the only remaining option is to do the webinar after Marrakesh.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, this is Jennifer. I took a note of that and we can make sure on the agenda in Marrakesh to include some time to discuss a potential webinar afterwards. So with that, I will move on to the prep for Brussels. So I put this on the agenda because I have noticed in the past couple of calls that people have been discussing various pieces of work that have been ongoing in the volunteer groups. And I just want to flag for you all if there's anything, or to ask if there's anything that we can do from staff support side in the next couple of weeks, because the meeting is coming up quickly, if there's anything that we can do to help collate the documents or put them in one place. I think that there are various pieces of writing going on that I am not aware of, and obviously that's perfectly fine. I just want to make sure that we're doing all that we can to prepare for that meeting. So please think about that. You don't have to bring it up on this call, but if there is anything that you can think of at the moment that you would like to raise that would be helpful for us to put together for you by that meeting, then please do let us know.
So this is Rebecca.
Go ahead. So, Jennifer, thank you for that. My initial reaction is I think the text that Alain posted to the list is the only thing that isn't in the Google Doc. And it's kind of weird because the front part of that was already in a Google Doc somewhere. Are you aware of any other piece that's being done like that?
I know that Carrie Ann had shared some things to the list a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure if which Google Doc they are in, and which Google Doc is the best place to put them in, because I know that there's various ones. But if you could share the link with me, Russ, and then I'll make sure that everything that has been shared on the list is in there.
You're right. Carrie Ann has said she's not allowed to use the Google Doc from her work at computer. And so when she travels, that's the only one she has. I think that's the issue.
Okay.
I will circle back to her and see if she has put it in from her other computer, or we have to do something to help her.
Okay. Thank you.
So this is Lauren. This is a kind of scheduling related thing, but it has to do with Russell's meeting and getting the work done. I feel we should, on the first day, as early as possible, have a breakout session, because I think a lot of work happened in some of the subgroups. I know of some, but they would really benefit from having a final sit down together, considering that calls are sometimes difficult and you can't get everything across, and it's really quick to just sit down and do it. So that's one thing I would kind of put on the list of things to consider. So the idea is just, you know, we can kind of prep, and then we're all in Brussels, we sit down, discuss one final time in the groups, to then kind of put it to the whole team, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. I've been thinking about that a lot, actually. And I went through the groups and looked at them, and there's a tremendous amount of overlap. It's going to be very hard to do anything in parallel that way.
This is Lauren. I don't disagree. Some stuff really is a kind of bigger group issue. There's a lot of interdependencies. So that's why I kind of said not too long, because there's some stuff like specifics don't matter, but it's like really like a case where I feel like if I sat down with the two other individuals for 20 minutes in person, this would be finalized and done. So I don't want to overdo it.
Right. But and also take a look at the doodle poll and you'll see we're going to be missing some players.
Yes. Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. So I'm struggling with how to deal with that myself. but I do think we're going to have to do some breakout groups, but it also means that there will either be people who have nothing to do and are reading their email during some of the slots, or that there's lurkers who are convincing who are not up to speed on where the rest of the topic group is.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I think there is no perfect solution for this right now.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I've been thinking about it. Okay. We have to figure something forward, but I don't think there's any request of staff at this point.
No, this was just a point I raised for regarding the Brussels meeting.
Thank you. Okay, so the agenda for Thursday then.
I think I have to ask a question before we get to that. Sure. Denise and Lauren, where are we on the SSR1 QA pass with Zarco?
Haven't heard a peep.
Me neither. And I think, Denise, we agreed, I believe, that you would take first pass, if I'm not mistaken. I might be, though. So, but that is kind of my feeling on this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to do that. Yeah, I thought where we had left things, that in Kobe, where I volunteered to do that, Zarco said, no, you shouldn't do it all. We should divide these up and do it. That's where I thought we left things. But if you're okay. If you're also of the mind that I should just go through these.
Not to put this on you. I just felt like this is what we went with. So let's do the following. I'll just email Zarco and you, and we make sure we find a functional solution. So maybe because Zarco said some he found problematic in terms of conclusion, he might even be the best one to kind of flag those up first. So I'll just write an email to you both.
And yeah. Then
we just take it from there.
The big thing that I want to not happen is us have that same discussion we had in Kobe in Brussels. That is why I raised it.
Yeah. Yep. You and I are on the same page, Russ.
Okay.
So if Zarco doesn't have time to do this, then I'll make sure that we go through this before we get to Brussels, and that this is shown, this is provided to Zarco, and I haven't heard from him for quite a while, so he might be really busy with work, but we have a shared goal.
But he missed the last several calls as well.
Yeah.
But like I said, because if we end up yeah. in Brussels, it will mean we're not going to get to the output we need.
Yeah.
Okay. So nothing to talk about from that front with the whole team. So there's nothing there. And it sounds like the compliance call won't happen for two more weeks. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Is there some way to break it up so the availability of staff that can discuss some of the issues is available sooner? Because the problem, I mean, it really doesn't make it useful, the call useful, really to I mean, it really limits our ability to get stuff done before we come face to face in Brussels by having it so late.
As a matter of fact, with it being that late, we will end up processing it in the little groups Lauren was just talking about.
Yeah. But is there a possibility of dividing? Do you know who's available from the compliance staff this week, for example? Can we tailor a discussion and put the issues in a couple buckets to have a couple of calls? We don't have to wait until the 13th to have a discussion about everything. Is that a possibility?
This is Jennifer. I'll have to go and check with them on the availability of it. I know that the compliance staff have made themselves available, but they were waiting on the questions for the review team, from the review team. And it's just unfortunate that there's a couple of ICANN events, and it may not be just that Jamie's involved in them, but his staff are going to be involved in those as well. So I'll go back to them and ask what the options are. It may be that they have to answer some of the questions on the email list. And I know that you had intended it to be a discussion, not just answering questions, but perhaps they can answer some things via email, and then you can have a discussion
I think the from the discussions with Norm and Carrie and Lauren, the intention here was to have an open discussion. The intention wasn't to submit questions and wait for written responses, or to submit all the questions in advance and have answers prepared and then to hear them orally. It was to have a discussion. So while I appreciate that staff was waiting for written questions, we were just waiting for call time so we can have a discussion. And there's nothing wrong on a discussion on a phone call saying, yeah, I don't have the answer to that. We'll have to get back to you. So can you help us get out of this rut we seem to be in of written questions and just see if we can get call times to talk about a couple buckets of issues that are earlier than the 13th?
So my understanding was that the whole point of the written questions was to make sure they could get the right people on the phone, not to put us in a box about what we were going to talk about.
Right.
So this is Lauren. I mean, I would like to kind of support what Denise said. This is really the outcome of our discussions. We did not want to like ask specific issues and get a specific reply, but more gain an understanding. And that often is impossible with the written replies. And I think we have seen that it doesn't work quite as well as we would hope, because it's sometimes difficult to see like what you're going at when we ask like the kind of big picture stuff. So from my perspective, better have that call that is a discussion later than just go for written. But obviously if there is something that could be done, to have someone talk to us earlier, that might be really useful.
This is Jennifer. Like I said, I can ask and see if anybody is available that might be able to answer or have a discussion with the team members before the 13th.
Thank you. Encourage them, please. Maybe we should have just given rough questions, very rough questions, sooner, but we're now stuck with a time crunch. Okay, let's turn to the agenda. Is there anything that we can do on Thursday other than go through and touch base with each of the topic teams and see if there's any obstacles we can help them with?
So this is Lauren. I'm I don't think I'm aware of anything that would make sense from my end, at least.
Okay, then I will send a similar note to the one I did last week and encourage people to update the status and keep the text flowing to the Google Docs, and that's what we'll do. Hopefully I know that the topics I'm working on are coming together at very different paces.
Yes, so this is Lauren. I think this is the big issue, that it's just mismatched in speed. It would be good if there was something substantial we could discuss. I'm just opening up my Google Docs and see if there's anything that might work.
Well, I think that the bulk of the really substantial discussions are going to happen in Brussels.
Absolutely, no question. Okay, so I'm not hearing anything. I just went through and I'm struggling to identify a topic that could easily be discussed on a call and be wrapped up.
Yeah, I couldn't come up with anything. Okay, I guess that's it then. Any other business?
None from my side.
Nope. Thanks, right. Everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye.
And bye, everybody. Thank you.